From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of Give and Forgive, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few moments. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Lord's Free Men. The text is Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin will reign if it can. It cannot be satisfied with any place below the throne of the heart. We sometimes fear that it will conquer us, and then we cry unto the Lord, Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. This is his comforting answer. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It may assail you and even wound you, but it shall never establish sovereignty over you. If we were under the law, our sin would gather strength and hold us under its power. For it is the punishment of sin that a man comes under the power of sin. As we are under the covenant of grace, we are secured against departing from the living God by the sure declaration of the covenant. Grace is promised to us, by which we are restored from our wanderings, cleansed from our impurities, and set free from the chains of habit. We might lie down in despair and be content to serve the Egyptians if we were still as slaves working for eternal life. But since we are the Lord's free men, we take courage to fight with our corruptions and temptations, being assured that sin shall never bring us under its sway again. God himself giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Yeah.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the requests, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the little word and connects the two parts of the petition, indicating that there is a definite connection between forgiveness and having our prayers answered. In this message, Dr. Cairns is drawing four lessons that Christ would have us learn from this connection. In the first place, we learn that unforgiven sin hinders prayer. The Bible contains many examples of God's people who, because of sin in their lives, were unable to get through to God when they found themselves in desperate situations. In the second lesson, we'll see that by joining these two petitions, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes our unworthiness to receive the Lord's blessing and magnifies His great mercy in giving it. Now to continue this message, Give and Forgive, here is Dr. Cairns.
Unforgiven sin stands as a mighty barrier to stop any man or any woman getting through to God on the matters that are of great importance to them. So many people complain, well, God doesn't answer prayer for me. God doesn't answer prayer anymore. We're living in a day when God seems to have given up answering prayer. And you ought to remember what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 59, in the opening two verses. He says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." The problem isn't with the hand or the ear of God, the ability of God to hear and answer prayer. Where is the problem? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you." Do you see what he's saying? He will not hear you. Think of King Saul. I think that there's few more tragic characters in Scripture than the first king of Israel. Started off with such promise. He was such an imposing figure as a young man. As a young monarch, he appeared to have the world at his feet. Saul was like a lot of people. He was very religious when he was in trouble. But Saul failed to make his supplication to the Lord. And when the crunch time came, he was going almost mad with desperation. Why? Because he had not had sin dealt with. And he couldn't pray when he needed to pray. Is that where you are this morning? Give us and forgive us. Because unless you have the forgiveness, your sin will hinder your praying. The Lord Jesus has a second reason for this linkage, and it is to emphasize our unworthiness to receive the Lord's blessing and to magnify his great mercy in giving his blessing to us at all. Give us, and then we remember, "Lord, I'm asking you to give, and yet I need forgiveness, for I'm not worthy." You see, our sin renders us unworthy of the kindness of God, even in such ordinary or supposedly small matters as daily bread. But despite our sin, God has still blessed us. However poor you are this morning, he has given you your daily bread. There's not one but that he has given food to eat, a place to sleep, clothes to wear. He has surrounded you with the bounties of life, what theologians call the common grace of God, has piled upon the just and the unjust, the sunshine and the rain, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the organs to assimilate the good from that food. He has given us life. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. Do you deserve it? Listen to what Jacob said in Genesis 32:10. "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant." Where's the man who doesn't have to say the same thing? If God were to strip us down to say, "I give you bread and water from now to the day you die," he's given you more than you deserve. Remember this. This may seem a very blunt way of putting it, but I like to be blunt. Remember this. Whatever God gives us, short of hellfire, is mercy. You say, you mean if God allows sickness in my life? God was not the creator of sickness. God didn't create sickness. Man became his own God by sin and introduced himself to the curse with all that comes with it. And now he wants to blame it all on God. But God is sovereign. So does, you're saying, does he allow sickness in my life? Pain and trouble and sorrow and hurt and bereavement and tears and anguish, and you tell me this is mercy? Yes, exactly, I tell you that. Because if you were thinking straight, and if I'm thinking straight, affliction will drive us to our knees. The psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? How on earth could he say that? He was not a plastic man. He was not cut out of stone. He was a real man of flesh and blood. He felt anguish like everybody else. Pain afflicted him and hurt him just the way as it does you and me. And yet he says, it's good for me to have been afflicted. Why did he say that? Because when he was afflicted, he started to think straight. And he realized, I could die today, and if I died outside of the mercy and grace of God, I would perish in hell forever. And from the depths of hell, I would have to lift my eyes to God and say, this is what I have worked for. This is what I deserve. And God is righteous. Anything short of hell is mercy. Mercy. God has given us so much more than that. You think of the blessings he has heaped upon us. We get to the place so much where we gripe and groan and justify ourselves for our feelings, for our viciousness, our rebellion, our bitterness against God, because of what we don't have. And we push out of our minds all we do have. Remember, if God gave me 1 millionth part of what I deserve, God gave you 1 millionth part of what you deserve, we would both be deeper down than Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. For we have sinned against much greater light than they. Oh, we're unworthy. And so when the Lord Jesus brings these things together, give us and forgive us, he is using this link to convict us of our unworthiness and then to magnify the grace and the mercy of God. Dr. Allison reminded us of Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And thus in dealing with sin and with pardon, the Lord Jesus Christ in this prayer immediately establishes the great biblical truth that the only basis for obtaining God's blessing is pure grace. I have emphasized that you deserve nothing from God so that you will give up that religion that is so natural to the fallen man of trying to earn the blessing of God, of trying to earn your way to heaven, of trying to feel you've got to do something or other in order to merit it. Because the Lord Jesus is impressing on us, when we say give, we must follow it with forgive, because even when we're blessed, we're still sinners. And we depend on grace. That's true of every natural blessing. Matthew 5:45 says, God makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So these natural blessings are not given because of our own merit. They're given by mercy and by grace. It's true of every spiritual blessing. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is Ephesians chapter 2. You've heard me quote it, I suppose, 100 times in this pulpit. I hope it never grows old to you. For this is the testimony of every Christian. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now is working, energizing in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a picture. If the book ended there, that's all the Bible had to say. You're as black as the outer darkness of the pit. You're as guilty as the devil. Wouldn't it be a sad and tragic revelation? But verse 4 is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. But God. Sometime, if I don't get to it, some of these erudite preachers, Dr. Barrett or Dr. Allison, some of us should get to making that little phrase, but God, the key to interpret the whole of Scripture and the whole of history and the whole of eternity. Think of it. But God. You were dead, dominated by the devil, darkened by sin, depraved, disobedient, and almost damned. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at the both sides of the but God. Dead, depraved, dark, dominated, disobedient, and almost lost for all eternity. And on the other side, made alive, quickened, blessed, raised up with Christ, exalted to the highest heaven, and given the assurance of eternal life. How did you get that? Not by what you did, for dead man can do nothing. Not by what you felt, for dead man can feel nothing. Not by what you gave, for dead man can give nothing. Not by what you merited, for dead, guilty, depraved sinners can merit nothing. But God, freely, out of the great goodness of his heart, through the merits of Jesus Christ, God gave what we couldn't earn. God bestowed what we could never merit. God in grace gave us freely what we have no natural right to. You see, the Lord Jesus is teaching us, recognize your own unworthiness, and then see the absolute glory of divine grace. When a preacher comes to you and tells you, you're really not too bad, do the best you can. Listen to me. Any preacher who makes light of your sins, the enemy of your soul, any preacher who makes light of your sin is condemning you to live in that sin now and with its punishment for all eternity. Any preacher who comes and takes your proud face and sticks it in the dust of humiliation until you feel the guilt and the wickedness and the conviction of your sin, and then lifts up your eyes to point you to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that preacher is telling you, there is hope. There is hope. Thank God, there's gospel hope. There is forgiveness with the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.